Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom to those who are watching with us at home. What a blessing it is that we're able to have our services in Israel and transmitted all over the world for brethren and new people to be able to watch and be with us. I want to go a little detour. We started going into the last few sermons on community living, which is extremely important and will be important as we go on this year. And then the big message, the last time, the Philadelphia experiment, which is going to be a big, big thing coming later this year as we develop it and we get our people working. But I want to finish up. We did the Gateway series. It's been a while since we did the fifth gateway. But I have this message called The Five Gateways and the Keys to the Kingdom. So this will be the last message on this series, kind of summing it all up together. Because we have the five gateways to the kingdom, right? Number one, fear of Yah. Number two, true repentance. Number three, spirit of humility. Number four, self-discipline. And the last one, number five, perseverance to continue and overcome until the end. And I was thinking of it, though, that with these five gateways, the foundation of the gateway, which is totally understood, is judicial order with all of them. So I didn't want to give another judicial order sermon. I have given many judicial order sermons, but I want to give this, the five gateways and the keys to the kingdom, because I want to tie it in with judicial order. Because again, if you're not starting with the foundation of judicial order, none of those gateways will mean anything. The gateways will be something you look at just on a personal level. You will not understand it. So let's start in Revelation 3 in verse 7 and 8. Revelation 3 in verse 7 says, "And to the messenger of the congregation in Philadelphia." We were just talking about the Philadelphians, right? And aspiring to be a Philadelphian. "To the messenger of the congregation in Philadelphia, right? These things says the Holy One, the true One, the one having the key of David." We talked about that many times, right? The tabernacle of David being found in the key of David. "The one opening and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." So when we're talking about keys to the kingdom, wow, what a place to start, right? We're talking about Yeshua has the ultimate key. And it's a key that he's given to our congregation. It's a key that he personally used me to open up. And I'm honored and blessed as his servant here in Israel and in Jerusalem to be able to have partook in that. "But the one having the key of David, the one opening and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have given a door being opened before you, and no one is able to shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name." So the first thing we're going to see here is when we're looking at keys, we're going to see that keys open doors. It's very simple. That when you have the keys to the kingdom, doors are going to open up that wouldn't be open up without those keys. So I'm going to start out by going over the foundation of judicial order and then getting into exactly what do keys do. What are these keys to the kingdom and the five gateways? Like I said, all five gateways are structured through judicial order. Without the foundation of judicial order, nobody could fulfill the five gateways. It's that simple. So let's start at Genesis 1 and verse 11. Genesis 1 in verse 11. "And Elohim said, let the earth sprout tender sprouts, the herbs eating seed, the fruit tree producing fruit according to its kind, whichever seed in it on the earth, and it was so." So again, if there's somebody listening the first time who's never heard a message on judicial order, that you understand what judicial order is. Judicial order is simply the order that Yahweh made of everything at creation, and that's what we're supposed to keep. We're not supposed to change that order. So here we see that the earth was sprouting sprouts and the herbs eating seed, the fruit tree producing fruit according to its kind. Yahweh made everything according to its kind, and we're not to mix seeds. You're not to go in your garden and mix a tomato with a watermelon and come out with a water-mado or something like that. We're not to do that. Everything has to stay within its kind because that's judicial order. Yahweh has a judicial order in family. He has a judicial order to creation. He has judicial order to the calendar. He has judicial order to everything. And our job is to keep that judicial order. It's just like judges, you know, when you're looking at a judge. Now in America, there's another Supreme Court judge who's going to be being confirmed, and that's what they're saying, that the judge's job is not to make the law, but to interpret the law. That's what a judge does. So it's the same thing here. And like we always say, judicial order is voluntary and reciprocal, or it's not judicial order. So anybody that is not under Yahweh's judicial order, that refuses, the Laodicean, who refuses to be under any judicial order, who wants to do it his own way, he simply won't be in the kingdom. It's not a negotiating point. It's a point where the Spirit of Yahweh, we have to surrender ourselves to the Spirit of Yahweh, and that Spirit is a spirit of submission to his judicial order. Drop down to verse 21. And Elohim created the great crocodiles and all that creeps, having a living soul, which swarmed the waters according to its kind, and every bird with wing according to its kind, and Elohim's soul was good. So the same thing, whether it's the sea animals, whether it's dogs and cats, whether it's birds, that we are not to mix, cross. And this is why evolution doesn't work, because Yahweh made everything according to its kind, and humans are not made after the monkey kind. It's that simple. We're made after Elohim. What a knock on Yahweh for people to try to say of evolution that man evolved from monkeys when Yahweh made us in his own image, after his likeness. And when somebody tells me that no, we're made after a monkey, I simply tell them, please speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. If you think you're a gorilla, well, you know, so be it. You reap what you sow, right? Maybe he's eating 12 bananas a day, I don't know. But all I know is that Yahweh made each after its own kind. And there is nothing in science, there's nothing in education that would ever make us think you can cross DNA, because it's not possible. Whenever you cross DNA, you come up with a mutant species or something that doesn't work. You don't come out with something that is a higher level. 24 and 25. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth the soul of life according to its kind, cattle and creepers and beasts of the earth according to its kind. It was so. And Elohim made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, and cattle according to its kind, and all creepers of the ground according to its kind. And Elohim saw it was good. So again, everything is made after its kind. That's simply what judicial order is. It's not man's order over other men. It's Yahweh's order over the earth. And yes, Yahweh has put authority, as we'll see, in his congregation. He's put authority in worldly governments. Romans 13 tells us we are to submit to the worldly government as long as it's not contradicting Elohim's law or his Torah. And that's what we're supposed to do, because no government or no government official is allowed without Yahweh being the one to allow him there. So everything is structured after judicial order. Go back to verse 14 now. And Elohim said, let light sources be in the expanse of the heavens to divide between the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So we see with the calendar, it's so simple. If people would simply just go back to Genesis and look at judicial order, you would not have the confusion in the calendar. Nowhere ever, when you're looking at creation, there had to be a year one, and then that year one ended, and there had to be year two. We're not in year one from Adam. No, year two, year three. When you're looking at the genealogy in Genesis 5, it says Adam lived 930 years, and then this one lived this many years. You know what that means? That means 1 year started and 1 year ended. And there's nothing about barley, because no one even lived in Israel at that time. And barley is arbitrary. It's different in Iran, it's different in Iraq, it's different in Egypt, it's different in America. So there's no way that the international world calendar, starting with Adam, would be based on barley in Israel. It just is it's not judicial order. The judicial order is very clear. Let the light sources be in the expanse of the heaven, divided between the day and the night, right? That's why there's a day portion and a night portion to a day, to a yom, one day, and let them be for signs, right? Because we know conjunctions and we know that eclipses are for end time signs and for seasons, right? The word is mo'adim, for the holy days we need them, and for days and for years. So the year starts and ends with the heavenly signs. If you look at the sun, there's 12 constellations on the ecliptic circle. The sun goes there for the 12 tribes of Israel. Yahweh put them there. And also these 12 signs that we see tell the whole plan of salvation from creation. We talked about this. I got an amazing message I did last year in Sukkot on this. If you didn't hear it, you should go back and listen to it. But it's very, very clear. The sun goes in a different constellation every 30 days, and then after it passes the 12th constellation, and it passes the equator and goes back in the first, it's a new year. You know, the precession of the equinoxes is what it's called. So, it's very clear that there's judicial order. It's a very simple order, too. And we're not to recreate the wheel. We're to sit here and we're to follow Yahweh's judicial order. And like I said again, judicial order is voluntary and reciprocal. Yahweh wants to see people that are willing to surrender to Him. And this is why I put this together with the five gateways and the keys to the kingdom. Because this is the key. This is the key to everything. This is what we're going to see. The door opening starts with judicial order. Without judicial order, you know, it's almost like when you have a book. You have the prefix of the book. And then after the prefix kind of tells you what the book is about, then you have chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. The five gateways and keys to the kingdom, what I'm going over today is the prefix. It's the prefix to the book. If you don't read this, you might as well throw the book away. And then chapter 1 is fear of Yah, chapter 2 to repentance, chapter 3 spirit of humility, chapter 4 self-discipline, and chapter 5 perseverance to continue and overcome until the end. So this is why maybe it should have been done in the beginning, but I think it's good in the end because everything's in a circular pattern. So after you get to the fifth gateway, this is where we are anyway. Everything works in a circular pattern. Let's see a little bit more about Yahweh's judicial order. Deuteronomy 21:5. This is talking about Yahweh taking one of the 12 tribes, the tribe of Levi, and setting him apart for the work of the ministry in the tabernacle. And it says, and the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for Yahweh Elohim has chosen them to minister to him and to bless in the name of Yahweh. And by their mouth shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. Okay, very, very simple. When you look at Solomon's sanctuary, right? Or even before that, the tabernacle in the wilderness under Moses. The Israelites did not enter into Yahweh's temple or Yahweh's sanctuary. Only the Levites did. So if you lived during the time of Solomon, you know, and you lived during the time of the kings after that, or you lived during the time of Yeshua, Yeshua never physically entered. He entered the temple courts. He never entered the temple itself because he was not a Levite priest. And even though he's the high priest of Melchizedek, that man-made temple or sanctuary, which was only a shadow of the true, was for Levite priests. It was not for Melchizedek priests. So Yeshua would have never entered into there. And we see Uzziah. Remember Uzziah, who was a pretty good king until he got a little bit too full of himself. And what happened? He came into the sanctuary. He wanted to burn incense on the altar. And he got cursed for it. He got cursed for it. And he wound up being a leper till the day of his death. Because it's not judicial order. So if the 12 tribes of Israel were here today, right, and Yahweh's sanctuary was standing in Jerusalem, this is what you would have happen in the Laodicean era. You would have people saying,
hey, who makes the Levites think they're better than anybody else? We're all priests. We can all do this.
And they'd be trying to storm the temple and do whatever, or they'd be making temples in their backyard. They wouldn't even need the one in Jerusalem, right? They would say, that's gone over. We'll make a temple in our yards. It's almost like in the book of Judges. Remember, there was the guy Micha, who wound up going and getting a priest for hire. I'm not going to read it. It's not my point today. But he went and got his priest for hire. And that priest, he was paying him to be a priest in his house until the tribe of Dan came. They were moving up to Dan in the north. And they said to the guy, why be a priest for one guy when you could be a priest for a whole tribe? But that's what was going on. And over and over and over, every story you read in the book of Judges says, there was no king in Israel. And everybody was doing what was right in his own eyes, right? So this is judicial order. Judicial order is we have to follow Yahweh's order. And if he set the Levites apart, it wasn't because they were better than the other tribes. It wasn't because they were smarter. It was because it was Yahweh's judicial order. And it's the same today, that Yahweh has an order and we have to follow that order. Ephesians 4 in verse 3. Ephesians 4 in verse 3. Because you'll never, ever, ever fulfill the gateways without understanding judicial order. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. He says, being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you were called into one hope of your calling. One Yahweh family, one faith, one baptism. One Elohim and Father of all, the one above all and through all and in you all. So the body of Messiah is not thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of different people and organizations and all things. Today you have several million Christian organizations all claiming to be true. But there's only one line, true line of ordination that Yeshua ordained. The 12 apostles, it talks about in Mark 3:14, he ordained 12, and they ordained others who ordained others who ordained others. I have it all documented with more than 250 quotes in my book, The Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail Against Her. Some of these quotes are 15, 16, 1700 years old, all documented firsthand, and it clearly shows even during the Anabaptists, right? Even during the time of the Protestant Reformation, it says that even then the Waldenses, who become the Anabaptists, they had the paper of the succession of ordination. In the 1500s, they still had this going back to the apostles, and they gave it over to who? To the Mennonites, and then the Amish, who wound up falling away from Shabbat and those things, and then it wound up being Seventh-day Baptist, and then Church of God, and here we are today, the break-offs from there, or the succession of congregations, of Assemblies of Yahweh, and all the different ones that come from there, YAIM, YRM, YR this, and then Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem, all the different, all from the same line, that all come from Church of God, who came from Seventh-day Baptist, who came from the Mennonites and the Quakers and the Amish and the Anabaptists. So there has always been a succession of ordination. That's judicial order. And this is what Yeshua says about the people that he personally ordained here. If you drop down to verse 10, he that came down is the same who also went up above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And indeed he, Yeshua, assigned some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah. There has to be ordained elders there that are part of the body. And if an elder, even if he was an elder, if he leaves the body of Messiah and goes out on his own, he is no longer an elder of Yahweh. You never, ever see that precedent. He's outside judicial order. It's just like Adam. Like I always say, I was teaching at the school here. Adam did not lose a religion. Adam lost a kingdom. He abdicated his position as Satan the devil. And when somebody that's ordained, a deacon or an elder, if they leave the body of Messiah and go on their own and start their own church, their own organization, they are no longer part of the body of Messiah. They do not have judicial order to do that. The same way as I don't have judicial order to give a woman the permission to come up here and give a sermon. It's outside of judicial order. The man is over the woman as Messiah is over the congregation. And that's why sometimes people will say, yeah, but the woman didn't usurp authority. I gave her the authority to do this. No. No human being has the authority to usurp Yahweh's judicial order. A woman does not have the authority to be a pastor, you know, or an elder in the congregation. It's that simple. You know, we know that from 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Corinthians 14. So it's the same way that a man, even if he was ordained before, he has no authority to leave the body of Messiah and start his own congregation, because that's not congregation of Yahweh anymore. That's congregation of whoever the person is. And yet people do it all the time. It's just not sanctuary. It's not judicial order. And that's why Yeshua's true congregations, and none of them, and none of the branches, end time branches, do they accept that. They don't accept people going in their own work. So let me continue. Indeed, put some evangelism for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah. Verse 13. Until we all may come to the unity of the faith and the full knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, so that we may no longer be children, being blown and carried about by every wind of false doctrine of men, who through their craftiness are very skillful in deceiving the people. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up to him in all things, who is the head, the Messiah. It is through him that the whole body is closely framed together and united at all joints, according to the gift that is imparted by measure to each member, for the guidance control of the body, in order to complete the edifying of the body in love. See, there's one body, there's one Yahweh family, there's one faith, there's one spirit. And that's why I say, we are not the only part of this body. We are an important part because we are the congregation based out of Jerusalem, working in Israel for 20 years. Yahweh has opened up the doors, as I said in the first few verses, to the Tabernacle of David and many, many, many other things here in Israel. But I fully respect and acknowledge that there are other assemblies. You know, I was just, when we were in America, at the Assembly of Yahweh, and Easton Rapids, Michigan, with Elder Sam, who took that congregation over from C.O. Dodd, one of the first sacred name leaders from the 1930s, who wrote the book, you know, The True History of the True Congregation, with Elder Andrew Duggar. And like I said, there's other congregations with, you know, Jake O'Meyer and Solomon O'Meyer, and Alan Mansinger and Randy Fowler, and many of them that are there in America, and I expect that, respect that. And I work with these men. And that's why I say, if there's somebody who doesn't want to be part of the congregation of Yahweh anymore, join one of the other congregations. If you're held on your own, you are outside of judicial order, you know. An elder is not an elder anymore when he leaves the body and starts his own work. And isn't it interesting? I've had at times that people falsely accused me of having a controlling spirit when I'm under 250 leaders and elders and deacons that I'm working with, and I'm working with leaders in other congregations that have nothing to do with Congregation of Yahweh. I respect and I work with everybody, and yet these people can't work with anybody. They see everybody's wrong but them, and if that's the case, then it's got to show you. If you think everyone is wrong but you, and you're sitting home by yourself in your living room, it's got to be telling you there's something wrong. Because you're being deceived by Satan, and that's not the way Yahweh works. Yahweh is a body. That's what judicial order is about. And this is why the five gateways and the keys to the kingdom. Because that door of the kingdom is being shut when you're doing this, when you're not recognizing Yahweh's judicial order. Proverbs 18:1. What does it say? We read this all the time. Proverbs 18:1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound wisdom. Like I said, it's only a Laodicean mind that can sit there by themselves thinking everyone is wrong but them. And what do? They usually try to find other people that are also sitting by themselves who can't be under judicial order to make their mind appeased that they're not doing the wrong thing. But, you know, misery loves company, and that's the way it works in these kind of situations. And it's the Laodicean era. And like I said the last time, and I'll say more as we go along this year, now that Yahweh has physically manifested the seven end-time congregations, you reap what you sow. Now it's up to each person to say, you know what? No, I'm going to be a Philadelphian. I'm going to model those Philadelphians, and I'm going to do it. You know, or you're going to be a Sardinian, or you're going to be a Laodicean, or you're going to be, if you're following pagan holidays still and all these other things, you're going to be Thyatira or Pergamos, you'll be one of them. you know? But very clearly, there's only seven, and you're going to fit into one of them. But now we can actually work toward the one that we want to be toward. So now I think I laid a pretty good foundation for what judicial order is. Like I said, it was not my purpose today to go into that. I have many messages. We even have one of our courses on judicial order. I think it's course 14. But now what I really want to get into the rest of the time is about keys. Because once you understand judicial order and you have these five gateways, now the keys to the kingdom. Remember Revelation 3, keys open doors. The one having the key of David, Revelation 3:7, the one opening and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. And what does he say? I have given an open door before you. So keys open doors, and when doors are open, what happens? They open up to many, many fruit being born. Matthew 16 and 19. Because I want to go in. How does the key that Yahweh gave keep an open door in the congregation? So the fact that he's given to the Philadelphian, the fact that he's given this open door and he's given the key to David, right? The tabernacle of David. What does that mean to us in the congregation? Matthew 16 and verse 19. Matthew 16 and verse 19. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall occur, having been bound on heaven. And whatever you may loose on the earth shall be, having been loosed in heaven. So what we see here now is when we're getting into the keys, we see that keys represent authority. I'm going to go over here 5 points of what keys do. The first point is keys represent authority, right? Because now, when you have the key to the kingdom, right, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will occur having been bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will occur having been loosed in heaven. So here we see that there's authority there, and Yahweh gives authority to his congregations, and actually, he gives authority to his elders to discern even with baptism. Not everybody that comes up to us and says, I want to be baptized, do we baptize? Why? Because baptism is such a serious decision, more serious than anything in your life, even more serious than getting married. And we have to counsel. We have to make sure the person understands. We have to make sure that they've repented of their sins. There's people that will come to us asking for baptism, and they're still working on the Sabbath. How on earth can I baptize you if you're living in open sin like that? And if you're working on the Sabbath, it's sin. I would be baptizing you to your death, not your life. So we wait. We don't get rid of you. We don't forget you. No. We work with you and try to help you to overcome. But there's an authority there. There's an authority that is given. Judicial order was set through the apostles. When you have a key to enter somewhere, you have the authority to be there, right? And that's the unbroken chain of succession. That gives an authority. There's an authority. So when you have a key, you have authority to be in a place. And like I said, in the Gates of Hell book, I'm not going to go into the actual quotes today for time's sake, but there's many, many quotes in my book that clearly show that the apostles gave succession of ordination to the Paulicians, who gave it to the Bogomils, who gave it to the Waldenses, and the Catharai, and the Insabbatai, and the Albigenses, and then the Seventh-day Baptists, who came over to America in the form of pilgrims and Mennonites, and Seventh-day Baptists, who wound up again becoming the Church of God Seventh-day, and then the other break-offs from there, and the Sacred Name groups, Assembly of Yahweh, and so on. So these are all part of the authority that keys represent. And Acts 8 and verse 19, Acts 8 and verse 18. But when Simon Magus saw that the Holy Spirit is given through the laying on of hands of the apostles, he offered them money, saying, give to me also this authority, that whomever I may lay the hands on, he may receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? So there's an authority with baptism. There's an authority with laying on of hands. And if not, you know, I tell people sometimes to come to Israel. I meet many, many people here from all over the place. And someone asks me about baptism, but I see they really don't understand it, and they just want to traditionally maybe or ceremonially go in the water like a mikvah, and I tell them, go ahead, you know, go down to the Jordan River or the Sea of Galilee, put yourself in the water and you know, meditate on what you're doing, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if I'm going to baptize somebody, lay hands on somebody, they better know what their responsibility is, and they better be ready to join the one true congregation, because that's what it said. There's one Yahweh family. There's one faith. And I say, somebody that wants to be baptized and doesn't want to join Yahweh's congregation, it's like an adopted child coming up to their parents and saying, yes, I'd like to be adopted by you, but I'm not going to stay with you. Just let me know when you die so I can get my inheritance. That's what it comes down to. It's like an adoptive child wanting the inheritance, but not wanting to be part of the family. And Yahweh is a family. He is a family. And when we become baptized and we join that family, we're joining part of that body. And there's a responsibility here, because the kingdom is bigger than you. The kingdom is bigger than you. It's about, and if we don't now in the flesh learn how to get along, how to overcome, how to be under judicial order, you're never going to be in the kingdom. This is so serious. And that's why five gateways and keys to the kingdom. And the first key is keys represent authority. John 10 and verse 7, we're still on the same point. John 10 and verse 7. Because, of course, the authority starts with Yeshua. It doesn't start with men, as we just read in Ephesians 4. But John 10 and verse 7. Then Yeshua again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will have life and will go in and will come out and will find pasture, right? So there's a lot of guys out there selling the word of Yahweh, making DVDs, right? Selling books, you know, doing all this stuff. The Messianic movement is very messy. They have conferences on Yahweh's holy Sabbath, and they're charging money on the Sabbath and selling books on the Sabbath. It's horrible. It's horrible. And that's what Yeshua says. They're phonies. They're fakes. But they're not part of his true congregation. Verse 17 and 18. For this reason, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down by my own will. For I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. For this commandment I received from my Father. So, keys give you authority. Because yes, anybody can go out there and slap up a website. Anybody can slap a book together and sell it for $20 or $30. Anybody can slap a DVD together and sell it for sometimes even $50. But they don't have authority. Keys bring authority. And Yeshua has the authority. And how do you know Yeshua's authority? Because he personally, with his hands, when he was a physical human being, with his physical hands, he laid on the head of the 12 apostles, who laid hands on others, who laid hands on others, who laid hands on others. And that ordination has never stopped. And it's here today. I've been blessed that I had my hands laid on by a person that also had his hands laid on from there. And that ordination came from M.L. Bartholomew, who was the head of the whole Church of God Seventh Day. And he was ordained by Andrew Duggar himself, one of the 20th century most famous congregational fathers that's there. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And coming up, Yeshua talked with them, saying, all authority in heaven and earth was given to me. Then having gone, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. Amen. So here it is. All authority is given over to Yeshua. All authority. And when somebody goes out on their own, you have no authority. There's no authority to that. The same way when I go into Sunday churches sometimes, and I ask the people, I read this, who said all authority is given to me? Yeshua. Yeshua or Jesus? Yeshua. Jesus is a Greek name. Jesus wasn't the name of the Savior. There's no letter J in Hebrew. That's a name that came later. Jesus. So then what authority does Jesus have? Jesus has no authority. Jesus has no authority. Yeshua has all authority. So the same way, why, if someone was baptized incorrectly in the name of Jesus, it's important to be rebaptized? Because there's no authority in the name of Jesus. It's the same way that somebody who leaves Yeshua's congregation, they have no authority. They have no authority at that point. So you might be able to trick an elder to lay hands on you without knowing it, but once you leave the congregation, you're going on your own authority. And Yahweh doesn't honor that. It's not part of his judicial order. Rebellion and treason are not qualities of Yahweh's judicial order. Yahweh's judicial order has to do with love and loyalty and a spirit of unity and working together. And like I said, not everything is always going to go our way. That's not the point. And that's where we learn. We learn these kingdom principles of serving Yahweh and loving each other and surrendering to his spirit. But if we can't learn those things now, we're not going to be in the kingdom later. So number one point, keys represent authority. Number two point, keys represent access. A key gives instant access to whatever it opens. Here, the entrance to the kingdom of Yahweh. Yahweh gives us access to all resources needed for the kingdom. So keys give access. John 3:13, and no one has gone up to heaven except he having come down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. So keys give access, right? And that access, when you get access to having your sins forgiven, you get access to the kingdom of Yahweh, you get access to heaven with our prayers. We get instant access by coming under Yahweh's judicial order and coming under the proper baptism. John 16, 23 and 24. So keys give access. And first, maybe I'll go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's a very short verse. Pray without ceasing. It says 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. So keys give access. When it talks about Revelation 8, you know, that the incense going up to Yahweh is the prayers of the saints. So do we realize that? Do we realize as a covenant believer and a child of Yahweh, you get on your hands and knees, you close your eyes, and your prayer goes straight up to heaven. That's powerful. That's access, and that's what the keys represent, access. John 16 and verse 23. It says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you ask nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be full. Ask, and you will receive, so your joy may be full. Whatever we need, do we realize that? And that's why Yahweh says in the book of Jacob, you don't receive because you don't ask, and you ask amiss. We have to realize when we need things for ministry, when we need things to serve Yahweh in Yeshua's congregation, we need to ask him that all the access of the universe is at our disposal, if we only realize that. Okay, number three, keys represent ownership. Keys represent ownership. Whether a house or a car, when you take ownership, you get keys, right? And I think about when I was younger, I bought my first house. I was only 18 years old. And I remember once we made the deal for the house, you know, we went and looked at the house once or twice, and we liked the house, and I decided, yeah, I'm going to buy this house. And then it was exciting because first, the other people still own the house until the day you close on that house. So there was a couple of times I wanted to go back. I didn't remember something, or I wanted to maybe take a measurement. And you still have to get permission. Even though you're buying that house, I have a contract to buy that house. The house isn't mine yet. So I still need permission to go inside because it's not mine. But the day you go to the lawyer and you sign the paper and they sign the paper and you give them money, what do you get? You get the key. You get the key to the house. And now, when I go there, I don't have to have the locked door, which gives me no authority and gives me no access. Now it represents ownership. The key makes you the owner of that house. Colossians 1 and verse 14. Colossians 1 and verse 14. Because we know who has all authority and ownership over the whole universe is Yeshua and Yahweh. Colossians 1 and verse 14, he says, in whom we have obtained salvation and forgiveness of sins, talking about Yeshua, who is the image, Yeshua, of the invisible Elohim, who has the right of the firstborn of all creation. For all things were created through him, the things in the heaven, the things in the earth, the visible, invisible, whether imperial thrones or dominions or angelic orders or authorities, all things were in his hand and have been created by him. And he is before all things, and by him all things are sustained. And he is the head of the body, the congregation, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the resurrection of the dead, that he be preeminent in all things. Yeshua is preeminent. He's the owner, right? So, keys give ownership. Romans 8 and verse 12. Romans 8 verse 12. Because the amazing part is that Yeshua, who's the owner of all these things, is sharing that with us. He is sharing that with us. Romans 8 verse 12 says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are the sons or children of Elohim. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship by which we call Abba, Father," like daddy, right? We're children, literal children. "The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh. And if children, then heirs, truly heirs of Elohim, and joint heirs of Yeshua Messiah, if indeed we suffer together, that we also may be glorified together. For I calculate that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to compare to the coming glory revealed in us." What an understatement! He's giving us the universe. We're co-heirs of the universe. And he's saying, yeah, the things we're going through now can't compare with that. Wow! No, they can't. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of Elohim." So even the creation is waiting for our manifestation to mature so that Yahweh's kingdom can come. "For the creation was not willingly subjected to vanity, but through him subjecting it on hope, that also the creation will be freed from the slavery of corruption to the freedom of the glory of the children of Elohim. For we know that all the creation groans together and labors in pain together until now. And not only so, but also we ourselves, having the first fruit of the Spirit, also we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly expecting that sonship, the deliverance from our body. For we were saved by hope, but hope being seen is not hope. For what anyone sees, why does he also hope? But if we hope for what we do not see, through patience, we wait eagerly." Wow. So that is so powerful when you really understand it. That not only is Yahweh making us literal children, that literally he's putting his seed of his spirit in us at a true baptism and laying on of hands. And we are becoming a literal child. He's adopting us into his family. But he is also making us co-heirs of the universe. It's hard to grasp being with Yeshua in Jerusalem forever. It's hard to grasp this land of Israel that's a wonderful land, or even the whole earth. But you're talking about the universe. You're talking about billions and billions of not just stars and planets, but billions and billions of galaxies that have billions and billions of stars and planets. It is just so unbelievable. But like I said, there's accountability to it. So even though keys represent ownership, and of course in the kingdom mindset, it's Yahweh that owns everything, right? We don't own it, he owns it. But by us being his children, us being heirs, we are co-owners in it. We are co-owners, the same way as a father has a business and he has a son working with him in the business. But that's why I say, as Yahweh is adopting us as children in his family, it's like us telling him, okay, Yahweh, let me go on with my life. I want nothing to do with you, but give me my inheritance. It's not the way it works. Yahweh is a family, and his congregation is that family. He's called us each to that congregation to bear with one another's burdens, to work together, to overcome. And this is why it's so exciting now as we're having the model. We're having the Philadelphian model, and we can look at the Amish and the Mennonite, and we can see how their families are working, and their communities are working. They're working, and they're prospering. And because they're following judicial order. And from here, for us to model that with the spirit of Yahweh in us, I'm so excited. I was excited when the kibbutz movement started. But now we're going into the fourth year of Yahweh's spirit being poured out in this later time. And now it's really, really moving. as the kibbutz, which again is communist mindset, but we're learning how to live together, is going into real communal living by the Spirit of Yahweh and the true Philadelphians. How much better than that does it get? Okay, fourth key. Keys represent control. When you have the key to something, then you control who has access, right? So, you know, now if we don't want anybody coming in this room, we simply lock the door. And then they can't come in. Keys represent control. You control who comes in when you have the key. John 6:44. No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Right? So we're not in Yeshua's congregation because we chose to, you know, that we chose to be there. No, Yahweh called us. Yahweh called us. No man can come to me unless the Father draws him. Matthew 25. And this is where, remember, there's sheep and goats, and there's wheat and tares. So the fact that maybe you visited one of Yahweh's congregations, or maybe you went to a feast at one of Yahweh's congregations, or maybe even you were coming in there and you thought you were a member for a while. If you are a goat and you're not a sheep, you're not part of that, if you're not surrendering over to Yahweh, if you're not following the judicial orders of the leaders that he put in that congregation, then you're not going to be a first fruit in his kingdom. You can't fool Yahweh. And here's the parable that tells this, Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, went out to a meeting of the bridegroom and the bride. 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those being foolish, taking their lamps, they did not take oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels in their lamps. But the bridegroom delaying, all not in slept. So what's the parable here? That there's people, right, that they're going with the congregation, but there's no oil on their lips. They're not praying every day. They're not studying their Bible. They're not fasting. They're not meditating. And they're not yielding of themselves. They're holding on to their Laodicean pride. They're self-righteously thinking they're better than other people, but there's no oil in that lamp. The lamp is empty, and they're not kidding Yahweh. So what happens? At midnight, a cry occurred. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Yeshua's coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins were aroused and prepared their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. Right? They had no oil in the lamps. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself. Just like today. Go out and get the $49 DVD. Go out and get the book by whoever's selling the next book. But you're not filling yourself with the Spirit of Yahweh. And when he comes, your oil is out. So it's very, very clear. We read this when we were on Shavuot in Jerusalem, where it said, and it rained. We were talking about the latter rain. And it said it rained in one city, but it didn't rain in another. And people from the city it didn't rain tried to come and get rain from the city rain. And said, you can't do that. You can't get somebody else's latter rain. You got to get it yourself. And the only way to do it is surrender. There's no other way. There's no shortcut. So I can't give you the Spirit that's filling out of me. You have to go and surrender yourself to Yahweh and surrender yourself to the leadership and the judicial order that he put in the congregation. If not, you're one of these virgins without oil left in the lamp. And the foolish said to wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for themselves. But they going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those ready went into the wedding feast, and the door was shut, right? No access anymore. And afterwards, the rest of the virgins also came, saying, Master, open to us. But answering, he said, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, be alert, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. Keys represent control. Keys represent control. And without the key, you can get locked outside, just like we see here. So you want to make sure that you're in the will of Yahweh, that you don't leave the camp. That's one of the lessons from years ago I learned at the Bible school. There's safety in the camp. Because the camp of Yahweh has safety. There's not safety when you're outside of that camp. 1 Corinthians 5, because this authority also goes for leaders in the congregation when they have to put somebody out. Unfortunately, it happens. I can say in all my years as an elder, almost 25 years as an elder, it's only happened a couple of times that I had to disfellowship someone to put them out of the congregation. But at times it does happen. And there is an authority there. Because one of the keys, like Yeshua said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So there is authority for elders when they have to do this, unfortunately as it is. 1 Corinthians 5 says, everywhere it is heard that fornication is among you, and such immorality which is not named among the heathen, so as for one to have his father's wife. And you are boasting and not have rather mourned that he did this deed might be removed from among you. For as being absent in body, but being present in spirit, I have already judged the one who has worked out this thing as if I were present. In the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, you being gathered together with my spirit also, with the power of our Master Yeshua Messiah, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Master Yeshua. So here's a man who is sinning, committing sexual sin, and very clearly Paul said he had the authority to make this decision and put the man outside the congregation. Romans 16. And verse 17 and 18. And brothers, I exhort you to mark those making divisions and causes of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For such ones do not serve our Master Yeshua Messiah, but their own belly, and by smooth speaking and flattering, they deceive the hearts of the simple people. Right? Very clearly, this is what happens. This is the way people are, and there are people we do have to mark because of this. Because they come in, they're bringing false doctrine, or they're causing division, or they just leave the congregation and try to start their own work, and it's causing division in the body of Messiah, because there's only one body. There's only one body. And we want to make sure that we understand keys represent control. And the elders that Yeshua has ordained, they have control to lock the door and keep out the bad elements that you don't want in the congregation. And the last one, number 5, keys represent freedom. Keys represent freedom. When you have a key, it gives you the freedom to come and go as you please. Without a key, you must wait for the owner with the key to access. I've had this happen at times. Somewhere maybe I was renting. And I went there to rent, and the person was late, and I'm waiting. I can't get in. I don't have access because I don't have the keys. So the keys represent freedom. When you have a key, it gives you freedom to come and go as you please. Without a key, you must wait for the owner or the authority with the key for access. John 8, verse 31. Then Yeshua said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So this is the key. One of the greatest keys we have is the truth. And it gives you freedom because you're not in bondage of all the lies that come with all the false religions. Verse 36 says, therefore, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that's the sad part. That when you come in the congregation, if you really repent of your sins, and you go in the water, and then you're baptized and you get hands laid on you, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. If you don't repent, you're simply getting wet. But if you did repent, and now you have your sins forgiven, and there's a freedom to that, why would you go back to the old lifestyle? Why would you put yourself under the bondage again? Because keeping the Torah does not bring bondage. That's the lie of the devil. That's the lie of Christianity. You know, that you're putting yourself under bondage by that law. No. The Torah is freedom, because the Torah is instruction for life. And once I'm free, because I'm not under the bondage of the penalty of sin, why would I put myself back under it? But that's what happens. When we look in the book of Peter, I'm not going to go there, but what it says, like a dog back to his vomit, the people will go back to their sins again. So we want to make sure that we're seeing this. We're seeing the freedom that comes. Because the fifth key represents freedom. The fifth key. So let me go over the 5 of these one more time. The 5 keys that Yahweh gives his congregation, right? To the open door in the congregation, number 1, keys represent authority. Number two keys represent access. Number three keys represent ownership. Number four keys represent control. And number five keys represent freedom. So Galatians 5 and verse 25 says, let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. So like we said, the only way you're going to have these keys in your life, the only way that you're going to be able to get the freedom that these keys bring is to surrender to Yahweh, to be under the judicial order that He sets. Therefore, let us live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. They always say, you can test yourself. You should be doing this every year of baptism. Take the nine fruits of the Spirit and look in each one and see, are you being filled with the Spirit or aren't you? Ephesians 6, two more scriptures and we'll be done. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Wow. So every other commandment is like, you know, the death penalty if you don't do it. This is the first commandment that actually has a promise to it. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So it's a promise of long life when you do this. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but nurture them in the discipline and teaching of Yahweh. Slaves, obey your masters according to flesh, with reverence and trembling and singleness of heart as to Messiah, not with eye service as hypocrites, but as slaves of Messiah doing the will of our master from the heart. So like I said, what we see here is judicial order and submission is always voluntary and reciprocal. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to the husbands. Okay? Children, obey your parents. Parents, don't provoke the children. Slaves, obey your masters. Masters, treat your slaves good. Judicial order is always voluntary and reciprocal. It's very clear. And this is what opens up the gateways and the keys to the kingdom. Last scripture is in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33 says, for Yahweh is not an Elohim of confusion, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the saints. And then drop down to verse 40, and let all things be done decently and with regular arrangement, judicial order. Yahweh is not Elohim of confusion. He's Elohim of order, of judicial order, and let all things be done decently and with regular arrangement. This is what leads to the five gateways and the kingdom of Yahweh. When we look at this, and I'll tell you, I knew that the five gateways were powerful. And as I was going over them, I really, really loved even just the study of putting it together. But I got so many good reports back, so many people writing to me and telling me as we travel how much they love those sermons on the five gateways. Don't forget them. Don't just leave them for the next thing. Because we need those gateways as we go into now preparing to be Philadelphians. We have to really understand these things of fear of Yah, true repentance, spirit of humility, self-discipline, and perseverance to continue and overcome until the end. And now this one, the five gateways and the keys to the kingdom, we want to understand that the judicial order is the basis for it. And as our communities grow, and particularly this year, we have at least two more communities that will be starting this year. And Yahweh willing, my goal is within the next 2 to 3 years, I'm hoping to start 5 to 10 new kibbutz communities around the world, because like I said in the last message, these are going to be cities of refuge. Now I really understand. The door hasn't opened yet here in Israel. Sadly to say that, but it's just not opened yet. We're here as the he goes before the flock. Yahweh has done a lot of preparation. And my personal ministry here with the government of Israel, with going to the nations, I mean, many, many things in the 20 years I've been in Israel are preparation for the great regathering, but it hasn't started yet. And as things are getting closer to the end, and there is going to be world war, and there are going to be these things, Yahweh needs to set up these cities of refuge. And I think that's what I'm probably going to talk about next, the cities of refuge and some of the things with that. But for today, I pray that the Gateway series And this message today on judicial order and the keys to the kingdom has blessed you. And again, trust Yahweh in all things. Pray to Yahweh in all things. And until next time, Shabbat Shalom.